This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress. For a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
This is the Joe Gaither Show on BamaCentral.com.
We're not too behind. Good morning, Tuscaloosa. Internet world, West Alabama. How we doing today on this Thursday? It is the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central, BamaCentral.com. We're hanging out here in the Derek Daniel State Farm Studios, live on the Bama Central YouTube channel, on the Bama Central Facebook page. You guys can find us on my own social media machines at JoeGaither6. We're going to have a lot of fun hanging out with Mason Woods and Katie Windham. We'll have Katie Windham about halfway through the program, get a lot smarter with her today. We're going to have a lot of fun with you guys on the Joe Gaither Show. You can send us a comment, question, query, or complaint. We get a lot of comments on the Bama Central YouTube channel. We appreciate that very, very much. You can find us at JoeGaither6, or go ahead and leave us a voicemail at 205-462-7340, extension 800, if you want to be a part of the program. We have a couple voicemails we want to get into. We'll probably lead the show with that. I want to talk about Dane Brugler putting out a 7-round mock draft. Tyler Booker, not first rounder. What? That would really surprise me going into next week, but that seems to be what the tea leaves are tea leaving. We will talk about Alabama defense. We're actually going to use one of the voicemails to talk about Alabama's defense. We talked Alabama's quarterbacks on Tuesday, Alabama's wide receivers on Wednesday. We talked all kinds of hooey about what the state of the spring game is going to be on Monday, but today we want to do defense. I want to talk about Alabama's defensive line, Alabama's linebackers. Whew. There's a freshman out there that looked like a player, looked like a real player. And there was a sophomore who we may have overlooked as a recruit. Actually, QB was on our show. So, I mean, he's our guy. But QB, underrated recruit out of Birmingham, really, really showing out. So we want to talk about Alabama's defense from 8A. Mason Woods, I'll just start right here. You follow Mason Woods at MA Woods _. You're good. He's getting set up. He's getting his camera all together. You're good. Take your time. Your microphone's connected, so that's all we need, really. I'll punch you in 2 seconds. Mason, the college football transfer portal window opened yesterday. Ooh, what is that?
I don't know.
Oh, your computer mic was not muted. Your MacBook mic was not muted. It's all good. It's all good. And we were hearing you through your microphone and the mic, and it's all good. Hey,
this time it's me, you know.
No, hey, that is an easy audio issue to fix. We hear it in our ears that time, and it's a boom, boom, boom right there. Perfect.
Transfer portal window
opened yesterday, and not a single Alabama player is in it. I'm
shocked.
Yeah. Let's start right there. Follow Mason Woods at MA Woods _. We're 24 hours into the transfer portal window, and not a single Alabama player has submitted his paperwork.
I mean, truly, I was shocked. I fully expected at minimum, you know, a handful of players, for 3, 4, 5 players. I didn't really have anybody off the top of my head in mind, but we had looked at some position groups that were like, maybe we might lose some guys here and there. And
I had a friend text me yesterday, we have 50 defensive ends. Why isn't one of them in the portal?
Maybe they just like Coach DeBoer, you know? I mean,
lead me there.
Yeah.
Because it would take us from yesterday's voicemail at the very end of the show into nobody in the portal?
I don't see any other programs with nobody in the portal. I'm sure there's a couple of them, but I mean, come on, folks. Like, the players are telling you right now, I think, that they like the coaching for that they like the coaching staff, that they like where they're at, that they like the state of the program. I think that's what they're telling us.
They're like, they may not love DeBoer like 100%, but they love him enough not to flirt with the portal.
Sure, because if you're not getting in the portal on the day it opens, what are you doing? So at this point, it's like, are we going to lose anybody? I know we're only 24 hours in, but
someone has to. I'm hoping that, it's less work for us if no one goes in the portal. That's fine. for me, I'm just surprised.
Yeah.
You're seeing lots of North Carolina guys. You're seeing some Auburn guys go in. I mean, it's just, I saw a number the other day, like 600 players in the portal. I'm thinking not a single Alabama player yet. Maybe that message, Coach DeBoer, the grass is not always greener. Remember the experience you have at Alabama, the coaches, the support staff, the dining halls, the X, Y's, and Z's. I don't have much deeper thoughts on this past just being surprised that we haven't seen anybody go in the portal yet.
Yeah, I mean, I'm curious if, you know, that 600 number, because I just feel like I recall like a year or two ago that number being like well over 1,000 players in the transfer portal. So I'm curious if the trend has started to be that while we do see every player that entered and it feels like, oh my God, everybody's transferring, maybe the trend is starting to be that more people are staying put a little bit. Who knows? Again, I don't know exactly what these numbers are. It's just kind of a bit of speculation, but I'd be curious to kind of get into the numbers there, but I don't really know how I'd find those. I'd probably just have to find somebody that did the work and then go off what they did, you know? But no, surprised, happy, relieved, I guess. You know, I certainly don't want to lose any players.
All right, let me throw you two names to start Googling here. I want you to Google a name, Joe Cotton from South Dakota.
Oh, yeah.
And what's Anthony Steen's brother's name? Anthony Steen. It's Tyler Steen's brother's name, right? Tyler Steen, Alabama football brother, went to Virginia. Tyler Steen's brother is Blake Steen. Yeah, sophomore guard from Virginia, Blake Steen. You remember Tyler Steen transferred from Vanderbilt to Alabama. You're seeing two offensive linemen's names being ethered around the Alabama football program right now. Joe Cotton, tackle out of South Dakota. And you got this Blake Steen fella, offensive guard out of Virginia.
Blake Steen is a massive individual.
His brother was big old boy.
6'5", what did I just read? 331 for Blake Steen. And Joe Cotton's no slouch either. 6'7", 315. So
Blake Steen, that is two Joe Gaithers.
That's big man.
That's two of them. Yeah. What's 18 times two is what, 32? Right, yeah. That's two Joe Gaithers, 320. Yeah.
Joe Cotton feels like another Arkell Enugwum type prospect, potentially. Not quite in the same vein, but just where, you know, you're plucking he's a sophomore, you're plucking him from potentially a much smaller school. Maybe kind of looking at the potential he has at 6'7", 315, because I imagine being that large, it was a little hard to actually evaluate playing at South Dakota. I don't think he was coming across anybody that really gave him much of a threat there, if I had to guess.
Well, what are we doing on the offensive line? Because we're a day in to the portal, and these are the names bandied about. It doesn't mean we're going to get these guys, but I think it can tell us that maybe this is what the coaching staff is. Hey, this is what we're targeting. I think that this Alabama football coaching staff is confident in Caden Proctor, left tackle.
Okay.
Is fairly confident in Wilkin Formby at right, but not confident what you have after that at tackle. And so, and why would you be? You haven't seen anything. Sure. It's all unknown. It's all
a lot of rotating at A-Day.
Right. A lot of question marks, a lot of young, a lot of youth, lots of transfer, lots of Arkell Enugwum, no football experience, low football experience.
Sure.
I think what you're looking for right now is, can someone play swing tackle? And what you're doing is, I'm telling you, I think you can beat Wilkin Formby out, Joe Cotton. Wilkin Formby is beatable. Remember that South Florida game? We don't really know. But once he gets to campus, he will see Wilkin Formby is a man.
And he is tackle number three.
Exactly.
Sure.
Exactly. Because, I mean, going back to our Wilkin Formby conversation from 3 weeks ago, we hadn't seen him since fall camp or in the fall to then. Like, it's like, oh, I've got a gruffly beard, and my BO is emanating.
I saw him at A-Day up close in person for the first time since, I mean, probably like right when he got here. Maybe when he was in high school, even. Like, He is. That's a grown man now.
He's gone from baby face looking for me at Northridge to adult.
Yes.
Taco Casa at Alabama.
He looks like a beast out there.
Right. So what you're doing is you're selling these transfer portal tackles a lie.
Do you wonder if, and again, just trying to play, you know, the other side here a little bit. I don't necessarily.
You can beat out Formby. Come on.
Do you worry that any part of this is concern that Proctor's injury maybe have, you know, maybe a thing that pops back up throughout the season? And it's like, ooh, we got to have another guy because I don't know if he's going to be able to go the whole year.
No, I mean, I think that's always there.
Sure. But it's not.
I don't think it's specific.
That's not in the forefront. Like, hey, we got to. Caden's not going to make it through the season. We got to go get a guy. This is more. We just need a backup for when anybody goes down.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. I don't think it's specific to Caden, but more so just we'd love to have a third tackle and we don't want it to be Jackson Lloyd, even though we love him.
Yeah. You know, Olaus, you got to.
Hey, I think Olaus. Olaus got a lot of love in the post spring press conference.
I mean, that's another guy that, you know, from when he came to campus to now has a very noticeable physical transformation. I think you can see it in just the build.
You remember when we were at 109 and got Olaus Lennon on the radio and he was just like, and Ryan was interviewing and he was like, oh, I'm from Finland. I moved to New Jersey just to get ready for football. And,
it was great. Oh yeah. Yeah. He, similar to Wilkin Formby, has taken on a different version of himself now that he's been in the program a few years.
And that's a player. Like,
I think that's one you really want to make sure you have. You don't want to let him get away because you've put so much time and development into him as a player.
Yeah. I think he can play four of the five spots and maybe five. I don't know if he can play center very effectively, but I think he can at least play guard and tackle.
I certainly think he would do it if you asked him to.
Yeah, no, yeah. I mean, it wouldn't look terrible. I'll say that. I think it would look, maybe he's a little slow out of the maybe a little not as athletic getting out. But I think he'd snap the ball fine and make good contact and anchor well at the center. I think he's a sleeper for this left guard spot.
I would like to see starting him here. Getting that,
you know. And sleepers too makes him sound too much on the outside. No, I think he's a real candidate.
Yeah.
I think it's Cam Dewberry. I think it's Olaus Lennon. Yeah, I think those two are your and Gino Vandermark as well.
I'd like to see Olaus get the nod. Hope, you know, if he can, obviously if he is the better player, but just, you know, based off of being here. You know, I'd hate to see him lose that job to transfer from Texas. And then, well, I think Cam Dewberry is a good player. I'll probably be rooting for Olaus.
I just like the homegrowns. All right, we're going to have Katie Windham join us about 8:40. So that's about 15 minutes away. So what I want to do with these minutes is go to the voicemail line. We appreciate Dax for calling us two, three days ago. That spurred a couple of more calls. A call yesterday that was fun. And I think Roy from Lake Gunnersville is back. So let's go to the voicemail line. You guys can call 205-462-7340. We'll take the first voicemail. We'll respond to it. We'll read an ad. And then we will take the second voicemail. And then by that time, it should be Katie Windham time. All right. So here we go on the voicemail line.
What's up, guys? It's Dax again here with a short voicemail today. On Wednesday, April 16th, 2025. I'm concerned about the pass rush. Like, I know James Smith started popping off at the end of the year last year. LT Overton's obviously going to improve. I'm just hoping that we're actually going to have some sort of a pass rush this year. Because last year we were pressuring them, but, like, we really couldn't get the quarterback on the ground. So, I just want to get y'all's thoughts on our pass rush. Hopefully we can get something going this year. But that would be awesome. Roll Tide.
Defense, pass rush, Mason Woods. How many almost sacks did LT Overton have last season?
It felt like every time he was on the field, it was just, oh, right there. And I think that kind of tells you, I have to imagine with another – you know, offseason under his belt, just another, bit of time getting more used to playing college football. He's going to be turning those almost sacks into sacks this year, I would hope. But outside of him, I mean, that's, you know, Jordan Renaud, I think, is a great player. I mean, I'm just running down the list here. Like, there's a lot of really great players here that I think will provide you, you know, solid reps. Now, again, I don't know if that's going to translate to sacks one way or the other, but I don't think this is, I don't know that it's necessarily a spot to be super concerned with. I think you're going to be able to get pressure there.
Yeah, let's talk about it here. Let's use him, use this call and talk about the defensive line. Dax, appreciate the call. You the man. Appreciate it. I think that you are in a really strong spot potentially, but you're just going to need somebody to pop. You're just going to need somebody to take the reins, to go grab the bull by the horn. I mean, Dax is right. I don't know that you really had that last year. Nobody grabbed it. LT was as close as you could get, and LT was always just as fingertip.
Oh, so close.
Oh! I love you, Tim Keenan. I do love me some Tim Keenan, but Tim Keenan is not an NFL disruptor. He's not a Quentin Williams type. Nope. He is much more the Josh Chapman type. And look, you can win with that. Clog the middle, eat up your double teams. Two seasons ago, I loved Tim a lot more. Last year, I thought he was fine. I did, but now some of that might be changes into the Kane Womack system. I think that Tim is a really important piece for this defense because of his veteran leadership. And so you want him to play and play well and play effectively. I don't think you're ever going to get dynamic. Even 8 sacks is probably even too high for Tim Keenan. You want him just eating up blocks so that your linebackers can go make plays. He's going to be playing right there in the nose. But golly, I think you've got some... James Smith is going to be an animal. James Smith is going to be... Unless he gets hurt, I think that James Smith is going to be that next, oh my gosh, this is the next overwhelming Alabama defensive lineman that you've been waiting on. I mean, when was the last one? When was the last overwhelming Alabama defensive lineman? Damien Mathis, you don't qualify.
Was it Quentin Williams?
Quentin Williams definitely qualifies, but Christian Barmore, yeah, I think, Christian is probably Barmore. Your last one.
Sure.
Yeah, Fedarian, like you, buddy, but you don't qualify.
Yeah, you
They're
solid, but not, like we said, that dynamic player.
So I think James Smith could be a Christian Barmore-like type. I'm really, really, really excited for Kelby Collins.
Steve Bolo Mbuamua. I still don't know if I'm saying that right.
No, I need to pull up his Roll Tide because apparently he's got a pronunciation guide. Roll Tide, Alabama. Oh, it's going to take us 10 years to get there because of this the way it's structured. But as I pull this up, why don't you tell him how just we stood, 5 feet away from him in the autograph line?
Large individual. Big man. Big intimidating man. I think
his hips were wide.
Yeah, he's just probably more kind of like the way we talk about Tim Keenan, where he's going to be more eating up blocks, I would think, just due to his frame.
I think he's got some explosion in him.
Yeah, he might, he may be a bit more of a power rusher where he's able to just kind of bowl guys over.
I think he's got some real explosion in him. I can sit here and anchor at 6'4", 248 or 298, but I think that he's got some real explosion.
He feels like the type where he's going to get, he's probably not going to be on the field a ton this year, but when he does, he will make plays.
Will this work if I click this?
Okay. Steve Bolo Boomwa.
All right. Wow. I don't know if it played into the stream.
Yeah.
But I'm going to play it again in my ear and we're going to say it again. Steve Bolo Boomwa.
I wish it was in Boomwa.
All right, there we go. But that's good. We got the Steve Boomwa. Bolo Boomwa. Boomwa. We can.
That's good too. Bolo Boomwa is good.
Lean into the French there with Steve Bolo Boomwa. There we go. We can really get it rolling off. Steve Bolo Boomwa. Bolo Boomwa.
Bolo Boomwa.
Bolo Boomwa.
I can hear it now. In Bryant Denny Stadium, 100,000. Bolo Boomwa.
And they're all going boom.
Yeah. That's good times.
All right, we're there. No, I think this defense, you just got a lot of potential. Dead. Freddie Roach, gonna need you to tap, 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 and call it out. Now, let's go here. Will we ever see Keon Keeley play the Bandit? 5-star, lost in the shuffle, and Keon, I feel so poor. I feel for you because I think you are a really heady player. I think you're a talented player that has not didn't have the right home in the Nick Saban system, and maybe is finding a home in the Ken Womack system, but got swapped into a room that is stacked to the gills. I kind of just feel for Keon Keeley. So will we see him? Is he going to be a rotational player? Because you walk past him, he's the Hulk. He looks like the Hulk. And you see him in our 5 minutes of practice, and bam, he's smacking that pad. Okay, what's that mean?
Yeah, I have to imagine he gets his reps. You know, I really liked him as a recruit. Really thought he was going to be a good player. Yeah.
Really liked is an understatement for Joe.
Yeah, really thought he was going to be a heck of a player. And I have to imagine that the coaching staff still thinks like, well, that player's in there. Like that guy that was recruited here, there was a reason for it. So
Hey, I lost your camera, by the way. It's okay, but they still hear you. You're good. You're talking about
redshirt sophomore, so still relatively young. I mean, not like super young, but I don't know. I think he'll certainly get his opportunities this year. I think the coaching staff wants to give him opportunities because of the potential there, because of the.
It's just going to look bad if he transfers out. You lose a five star, and Alabama's lost lots of five stars, sure. But I would like to see him get on the field. I would like to see him get on the field and contribute significantly. I think you're looking at Tim Keenan, you're looking at James Smith, and you're looking at probably Kelby Collins. There's somebody that I'm obviously missing. Let me look at ROADS because ROADS will tell me exactly who I'm missing. Alabama, as you work on your camera back here, and then we're going to go to our next voicemail line. All right, yeah, Kelby Collins. Oh, LT. Yeah, LT was who I was obviously missing. Yes. So your starters are really going to be James Smith, Tim Keenan, and LT Overton. I'm excited about Kelby Collins. You're hearing a lot of noise.
Talk about a guy that looked like a beast on A-Day. That guy.
You're hearing a lot of noise about Jeremiah Beeman as well, redshirt freshman out of Birmingham. So I think this defensive line room, where do we want to leave it? That's where I want to leave it. Lots of potential, just needs to – someone needs to step forward. Someone needs to show themselves, hey, I am what my star rating was in high school.
Yeah, I think you're in a spot where maybe your ceiling is higher than it's been, but you just – like you said, you have to unlock that potential, have to tap into it.
All right, let's keep going on the voicemail line. You can call us at 205-462-7340. Actually, let me tell you first. We're sponsored by Warren Tire and Auto. We're proudly sponsored by Warren Tire and Auto. And Warren Tire and Auto has been a Tuscaloosa and University of Alabama staple since 1961. They're in their third generation of family ownership. They're your go-to place for all your automotive needs. Now, with two great locations better to serve you for tires, brakes, and alignment, you can reach out to them on 15th Street at 205-759-5505. For all your other automotive needs, you can see them on University Boulevard at 205-758-2739. Two great locations to get you in and out, back on the road, and back into your life. That's Warren Tire and Auto. Call them today for all your automotive needs. See them on University Boulevard for front-end work, engine repair, oil changes. See them on 15th Street for tires, brakes, and alignment.
This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress. For a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
Roy, Lake Gunnerville here. Dak, thanks for the shout out, bringing me back in the fold. Well, the truth is that I like basketball. I like football. I don't really care about spring ball because there's too many variables at this point. New portal. Either way, I want to see what they look like on the first Saturday in September. I don't really care what they look like in April, in May, in June, in July. Figure out whatever you need to figure out. You can look terrible for the next three months. You need to have it together in September, Coach Kalen DeBoer. And that's why I agree with the new collar. It's not that I totally agree. I like the spice. It was a good call. I like how the man came strong with his opinion. Mason, You said he needs to bring evidence. This is a radio show. This is a hot take machine. Evidence, the losses are the evidence. The L, the big L that kept us out of the playoff. I haven't given up on Coach Kevin DeBoer. I haven't written him off. But I will say, things do need to improve. In addition, as far as the discipline, come on. Malachi Moore embarrassing our program like he did, embarrassing every fan of Alabama Crimson Tide. Bear Bryant rolling over in his grave after what Malachi Moore did to go completely unpunished by Coach DeBoer. That was not a sign of a disciplined team. Let's call balls and strikes. Roy out.
I lost your camera again, but that's okay. Go ahead. It's going in and out, but I can hear you. He says the losses are the evidence, Mason.
I guess. Sure. You win this one. I'll agree. Your first point, Roy, is maybe the only thing I've ever agreed with you on, that spring game doesn't really matter. Spring football doesn't really matter. You hit the nail on the head there, buddy. None of this is really consequential, because it does only matter what happens when you hit that, when you hit the field for that first game against Florida State. That is going to be the only thing that matters. Maybe these weeks of spring practice come into play there, but I don't know that they necessarily will. I think we try not to do the hot take thing here on this show too much. Obviously we get some out there, but I think for the most part we stay pretty grounded. We're not in the Skip Bayless, Stephen A. Smith lane of things necessarily.
I need to bring on 25 people who want DeBoer fired.
That'd be good.
To steal the Skip Bayless Jubilee stuff.
And 25 people to that think that AJ McCarron's the greatest quarterback in Alabama history. Bryce Young lover versus 25 AJ McCarron fans.
Oh, don't worry, baby Bryce. I got you, brother.
Ooh, wee. I mean, yeah, the losses
ain't nobody
are
coming
short
for my baby Bryce. Ain't nobody. Not even you, Keelan.
Oh, man.
Keelan, your bar is really is like, I'm sorry. Bryce Young knocked my socks off. I'm sitting there. Was it Alabama played Southern Miss in his first year starting? I'm sitting there. My middle sister, who's never seen an Alabama game before, I bought tickets. I'm not in the media. Upper deck, cheap tickets, easy. Mm-hmm. And my jaw's on the floor, seeing the all 22 of him just going, chip, 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 bomb. Chip, chip. It was just like head turned. The head was like on the automatic swivel of just 1, 2, 3, 4, out, 1, 2, out, 1, out, 1, 2, 3, out. Oh,
man.
Keelan Russell. You got a high bar, brother.
You do. I think.
Continue.
You
can get there. I'm sorry.
I mean, no. You got me thinking about Bryce Young now. I'm so excited. Year two, this year, Bryce Young, the NFL. I think he really started to turn it on towards the end of last year. I'm very excited for what he does this year. What was Roy's last point there? The evidence that we're looking.
He's talking about Malachi Moore, yeah, the evidence rolling over in his Malachi grave, Moore. Embarrassing Alabama fans.
I mean, I.
He said, "I'm not out on DeBoer, but I gotta show you improve."
I mean, correct me if I'm. Didn't Malachi Moore got penalties like that under Saban also? And
they all did.
And I don't think anything happened to him then either. Jermaine Burton, we mentioned him, smacking the fan across the face, which I'm still in the camp of like, no, he did not assault somebody. He didn't, like, everybody painted that like he was some horrible monster, and it's like, well, no, he was just trying to get off the field. Somebody ran up in his face and he slapped the phone out of their face. Whatever. He still did that. Nothing happened to him. No one really did anything. This is not a new thing. This goes back decades. Football players in every program do undisciplined things, and if they're really good players, they're allowed to do it.
They get away with it. I mean, just type, what is it, Lawrence Taylor into your Google machine. Greatest defensive player ever, and it's like,
he was
scandal, 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 X, Y, Z, troublemaker. And it's like, oh, it's all right. He can kill the quarterback.
Heck of a ball player.
All right. So I appreciate the phone callers, Roy and Lake Gunnersville. I appreciate Dax calling us on the voicemail line at 205-462-7340, extension 800. We have a lot of fun with our voicemailers. You can be a part of that just by calling. It'll ring for a second, and then it'll send you the voicemail. You'll feel like, oh, what am I doing? And you leave me a message, and we'll just play it the next day and react to it. Oh, man, Mason, it's going to be a huge weekend. We're going to get Will Miller on tomorrow. bring it Will Miller joining us to talk about baseball, but really to talk about WrestleMania. We might get the Alpha Alexander Lincoln in to join us to talk about WrestleMania as well. But we want to spend the rest of our day today with Katie Windham. We're going to get a lot smarter by going out to our we need a little moniker for when we bring a guest in. Our little voicemail line, the Derek Daniel voicemail line. You can sponsor that right there. To Katie Windham, you follow Katie Windham at Katie Windham _ on the Twitter machine. We're live in the Derek Daniel State Farm Studio. She is in parts unknown in Tuscaloosa covering all things Alabama sports. She had a huge weekend. Oh my gosh. She goes from a day, well, I'm watching 2.5 hours of football, taking diligent notes for the people, to right into a 3-game series against top 5 Oklahoma. Alabama blows it on Saturday and then really has 2 great games Saturday and Sunday. So I'm excited to talk about softball, football, the draft, and much more with Miss Katie Windham. Katie, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good.
Excellent. Katie, how was the weekend? Put us right in your shoes. You leave us at 8A, and we'll talk about 8A in a second, but I think our headlines, our starter, should be the Alabama-Oklahoma series, actual competition. You go over to the Rhodes House on Saturday. The ladies blow it, and then Sunday, Monday happens. So just put us in your shoes and your experience with softball series this weekend.
Well, I mean, even Saturday, like, yes, they blew it, which – something Murphy literally talked about in the midweek media availability, how many games they've blown in the 6th or 7th inning this year. But like the fact that they even had Oklahoma shutout going to the 7th inning, I really just couldn't believe what I was watching. I told people weeks ago, or I can't remember exactly what I said on the show last week, but I mean, like I knew based on how Alabama had performed this season against top competition and also how Oklahoma has performed overall, that Alabama could win this series, especially at home. But I thought if they did, it would be because their bats just exploded too. Because Oklahoma's pitching is not as good as it has been. They don't really have, even though Sam Landry pretty much had Alabama fooled all weekend, even though they were able to win on Monday, they don't have the pitching that they've had in the past. But their offense is just, it's not as good as it's been, but it's still insane. Like they had a midweek game a couple weeks ago that was like 18-16 versus Wichita State. And you just don't see scores a lot like that in softball. So I was like, okay, if Alabama wins a series, it's because going to be, they figure out a way to outslug them at home. I would not have anticipated at all that Oklahoma's offense scored in 3 total innings, 1 inning per game, and how much Alabama's pitchers, because if it was, you know, Montana Fouts out there in the circle, sure. But Alabama has not had anything equivalent to Montana Fouts this year. And Jocelyn Brisky has the potential to be that. And apparently Caitlin Riley does too, based on her performance this weekend. But it just hasn't been that way. And so I don't know if any of y'all saw on TikTok or anything, Patty Yasso's in-game interview from Sunday's game, which was the first one that they lost, I think 6-1. And I think they interview him normally in like the 4th inning. And you know, the Amanda Scarborough asked her, you know, what are you seeing from your offense right now? She goes, nothing, absolutely nothing. It's just, ugh. Like, you know, you could tell she was so frustrated. And I'm sure, you know, they were not expecting with how inconsistent Alabama's pitchers were this year. I mean, I think coming into the weekend, Jocelyn Brisky had 2 complete games and Caitlin Riley, I think they said on Out of the Box, Tom and Grace podcast, I think they said she did not have one. I probably should have checked that, but the fact that they both pitched a complete game against Oklahoma is just crazy. So that's really where all the credit is due, in my opinion, is the pitching staff for all the ups and downs they've had. That they had Alabama in all 3 games. They gave a great start all 3 games. The defense was phenomenal this week, and another area that struggled for them is making errors and kind of giving things away. And I think maybe they had 2 errors on the weekend, but they were able to kind of cover them up. And then they made some huge defensive plays to save runs, especially in that finale when Oklahoma had the bases loaded with 1 out in the 7th inning. And I think if they scored just 1 run there, I think it probably would have kind of opened the floodgates. And so far in the first 2 games of the series, the 7th inning is when they had scored. And so I think when Abby Dukes made a good play at first base and then another ball back to the mound, Caitlin Riley made it wasn't necessarily a tough play, but pitchers can not be great fielders sometimes. That was definitely one of Montana Fouts' weaknesses. If she got a hard ball hit back to her, there's a good chance she was sailing in the right field. But, you know, you can't be perfect at everything. But, you know, I think the defense was huge this weekend as well. And it was it was refreshing to be at Rhodes and see them win a series. I don't know. Actually, the last time I saw, and this year, this was the first time I'd been to every game of a series. They did win the Georgia series, which Joe covered for me when I was in Newark for basketball. Last year, the only series they won was Ole Miss, who was bottom of the league, and I think that was when we were at the Final Four. So I think maybe the year before that, Montana's last year, they beat LSU in a series at home, but it was refreshing to watch them win a series at home, because I talked to Murph after so many frustrated series the last couple of years, because he hates losing. He hates losing at home, especially when there's a big crowd. And to see them actually handle business, because it really seemed like when Oklahoma had bases loaded in the seventh, it's like, here we go again. The Sooners just prove why they're inevitable, mm-hmm. why they won four national championships in a row. Alabama's played so good all weekend. It's been the better team 95% of the time, but Oklahoma's going to win. And they didn't. Alabama found a way to win.
Katie, on Tuesday after the series, I made just a simple statement that, okay, all the frustrations that you've had this year, everything that we've been complaining about, little things, the pitching problems, pitching inconsistencies, not finding the clutch hit, basically said that all that went out the window this weekend, that they found all that stuff. And I was essentially trying to say that maybe that gives you a lot of hope, a lot of excitement for the back half of the season. I want your correction, or maybe your affirmation. What would you say was the weekend the hurdles that the ladies overcame indicative of all the problems they've been dealing with, and was overcoming those hurdles enough to give you hope or give you some maybe energy behind this team that, oh, things can get really good going forward.
I think it is. Like, and even talking, if you go watch the interviews from after game two and game three on the Bama Central YouTube, like, especially after game three, I think Audrey and Caitlin Riley talked about this gets them over the hump. Like, they've been so close so many times this year. They have Texas A&M's the new number one in the college softball polls this year, and or this week, and it's the first time in like 4 or 5 years that anyone besides Oklahoma, Texas, or UCLA has been ranked number one. And Alabama has a win over Texas A&M. They beat them a couple weeks ago. It was the week that basketball was in Cleveland, and Alabama could have won 2 or 3 games in that series and had some costly mistakes. And so they've been so close so many times that I think they've already had like little smatterings of hope. It's like, oh, this team could be good. And it's like this weekend they like proved they could do it for a whole series against one of the best teams in the country, against the 4-time defending national champion on a big stage when the games were on TV. I don't know if anybody's kept track of this stat. The only person I can think of that would have would be Gray Robertson, but I doubt he actually has. It's been like for the last couple of years, like almost every time Alabama's on national TV, they lose. It seems like, at least like in the regular season. And obviously all 3 games of this were on TV. And they won 2 of 3. So I think it is something that can give them a lot of confidence going to the back end. There's only 3 regular season series left this weekend at Florida, or really starting today, which I think this is really going to be the key of kind of where they are, because traditionally Alabama has a lot of success playing at Florida. It's a really quick turnaround because they played on Monday. Now they're playing on Thursday because of Easter weekend, which softball players are used to playing twice in a day back to back. You know, it's not like it's that big of a deal for them, but it's still to have to travel in the midst of that too. It's a pretty quick turnaround, not a lot of time to practice, recover in between. So I think, and Florida is the best team left on their schedule. They end the regular season at South Carolina, who has been a real surprise this season, was picked last in the SEC with a new coaching staff and is, I think, like number 3 in the RPI or something. But I'd say at Florida is probably their toughest series left. And so I think if you can get 2 down there, you're ecstatic. I think you've got to get a minimum of 1. And then next weekend, the last home series is against Missouri, who's the bottom of the SEC. And I think that's a very big opportunity for a sweep. And that's something they need to do. I think winning the series against Oklahoma, not for sure, depending on how they finish, but pretty much solidified them as being able to host regionals. And according to the people that know more about softball than me, depending on how they do over these next couple weeks, they're really, because of their metrics and their strength of schedule, they're in a position that they still really could get into one of those top 8 seeds where they host supers, which is pretty crazy based on some of the losses they've had. But I think this team has potential. And what I said last week of like the example of that Georgia series you covered in the past, this team, it was just, you knew if another team scored runs, which Oklahoma didn't this weekend, but like that Alabama was out of the game. And this team is never out of it because of the offensive potential and production they have.
We're talking to Katie Windham, lead writer for BamaCentral.com. You follow her at KatieWindham_. Read all of her great work at Alabama Crimson Tide on SI. Just 2 seconds. How happy was Murph in, you know, on one at night?
Oh, yeah, he was great. Yeah, I feel like by the time he talked to us, he was like trying to be a little subdued. He also had to do – they normally separate softball post game with like writers and like TV people. And then there's also a Softball America person there. So we were his third stop on the post game media tour. So I think he was a little worn out. But yeah, he was definitely pumped. Like I said, he hates losing series at home. And there's been a lot of that the last couple of years. So I think it was very validating, exciting that they were able to do that with the type of crowds they were able to have at Rhodes this weekend.
So follow Katie Windham at KatieWindham_ as the ladies go into their last three series starting today at 5 o'clock. The ladies are down in Gainesville. It's going to be Thursday, Friday, Saturday series, as Katie just outlined, getting the ladies back into town for Easter. So really, really great coverage tonight with Katie Windham starting at 5 o'clock on Bama Central. Katie, we need to move into football. We spent some time together on Saturday in Bryant-Denny Stadium. Mason and I have talked. Theo and I have talked a lot about the crowd, a lot about the play. I'll just open up the floor to you. Just what did you make of Alabama's A-Day? Any aspect you want, any direction you want to take it in for your observations and takeaways?
I mean, I think we all went in like knowing or not knowing at all what to expect. Like, they just, I think that's what partially led to there not being a big crowd, is they never really gave out details of what it was going to be. And so people didn't know what to show up for. And I think out of town, people thought, why would I drive into town for this when I don't even know what it is? But I will say I was pleasantly surprised that they gave us more scrimmaging than I thought they were, especially when they did. I think it was like in periods, you know, 3 or 4, when they did like a couple really quick 11 on 11 and they were just like hustling through it. I was like, oh, is that all we're going to see the whole time? And then they're just going to be like doing drills the rest of the time. Like, honestly, like that would not have surprised me. But they did a little more scrimmaging than I thought, which was nice to see and get like a little bit of game-ish, you know, action of some of these guys. So it was because a lot of times there was a lot going on and I was just trying to – like going into it, I didn't know like what my story was going to be. And I was just taking notes to, you know, kind of figure stuff out. And then I kind of decided about halfway through that I was just going to kind of do observations from every practice period. Because, you know, there was no post-game presser after. So it's not like you could shape a story around quotes, or if you saw something and wanted to ask about it, you didn't really have that opportunity that day. And so it was kind of hard to like fully focus on everything that was going on. But, you know, I won't be surprised if there's no A-Day at all next year, just based on how things went this year. I think they were already locked in to A-Day because they'd announced it publicly. I'm sure they had, you know, ads sold for stuff, promotions, whatever. And then as other schools started canceling or cutting back, they kind of joined the fray, and it is what it is.
Not sure if you can still see me here. I think I lost my camera connection, but I think you can hear me. Katie, I just want to ask, you know, obviously the quarterbacks were the story of the day. Everybody wanted to see the quarterbacks, whatever, whatever. Was there any other, you know, outside of the quarterbacks, was there any other player, offense or defense that, you know, really stuck out to you on Saturday? You know, any receivers, defensive backs, linebackers, et cetera?
Honestly, this isn't like saying that this person I think is going to start, because I don't think they will. But Derek Meadows was, I feel like, somebody like my eye kept getting drawn to and kept making good plays, whether it was deep balls with a different quarterback. It wasn't the same guy every time. You know, we've heard about like his size, and I think we could see that on Saturday. Yeah, that was last Saturday. So he was kind of a guy that stood out to me, and just I think partially he stands out because his number is so unusual for a wide receiver, which I feel bad that I don't know who to credit this story to, but apparently it's something to do with a relative that died, but to kind of like honor their memory. But it stands out because it's so unusual to see a wide receiver, especially one of that size, to have a number that high.
Maybe that's why it's the perfect number. You know, me and Joe kind of made fools of ourselves in the press box talking about how bad of a number it was. Number 30, for anyone who's uninformed. And it is not a typical wide receiver number. It looks very strange on a wide receiver. But yes, as Katie told us, it is, and I can't remember who informed us in the press box. But okay, yeah. it is for a dead relative. Or
Charlie
relative
goes, it's his
away.
Dead brother's number, Joe.
There we go.
I'll go, oh.
And so maybe, you know, maybe like that's why it's even more perfect, though, because, yeah, you see him on the field and it's just like, number why is 30 out wide? What's he doing out there? And then he burns you down deep for a 60-yard bomb, and it's like, oh, well, now I remember number 30. So yeah. It might just be perfect.
Yeah, I agree. It's going to I think it's going to stand out for the next couple of years. I don't know, just because of how deep or kind of top heavy the wide receiver talent is. I don't know how much time he's going to get this year, but I'm sure he'll get some and could be a big player one day.
All right, Katie Windham, on Tuesday, we took our audience to two different extremes, and so we want to take you as well, there as well. We're trying to decide what Ty Simpson's 2025 season will look like. We all heard Ryan Grubb on Monday, if the season started tomorrow, Ty Simpson would be the starter. Great. Well, we're trying to decide, you know, what does this look like to all of us? In 2016, Blake Barnett enters the season as the assumed starting quarterback, per se. He has freshman early enrollee Jalen Hurts enroll in January and push him. And ultimately, we know what happens there. In 2020, Mac Jones is the presumed starting quarterback. He has freshman early enrollee Bryce Young push him. And we know what happened there. Now, obviously, those are extreme ends of the spectrum. Mac Jones, your national champion, undefeated. Blake Barnett off the team in 2 weeks. What's going to be Ty Simpson's fate with a top-end quarterback, top-ranked quarterback, pushing him? Will he play well enough to keep everybody at bay, or will he open the door to someone else getting opportunities?
Yeah, I think that question is more like reasonable, which I know that's like what you're getting at, than just the extreme of gone after 2 weeks or undefeated and national champion. It's more, will he be able to be pushed out or stick with the job, which I don't know. I think he will be able to hold on to the job. Like, I think it takes some pretty catastrophic stuff. And, you know, for all we know, like, he's getting pushed and pushed, or, like, for all we know, like, the fact that they even said that, I think, shows that they have a lot of confidence in them, because to say that right before the portal opens – it is opening the door for somebody to leave, with Austin Mack obviously being the most likely candidate. So, you know, also just to say, I really appreciated Grubb on Monday. That was a very refreshing press conference. He was great, very personable, you know, tried to make jokes with the media.
He cracked on you right off the start.
I know. Which I feel like other people, I would have been like intimidated or like thrown off, but I could tell, you know, he was just being like nice.
Yeah, it was a big old smile. You got your hand up already?
Yeah.
You ready to talk to me?
and then the way he kind of said that at the end, because he knew that's what we wanted to hear, you know, I thought that was refreshing. So I think the fact that they were willing to publicly say anything about it shows they must have a pretty good amount of confidence in him, or that they have a lot of confidence in the conversations they've had with the other two guys. And I'm sure they know, like everybody talks about, a team knows who should start. Like everyone else that's out there at practice every day, like they know. It's not like it's some big secret or surprise to them. And a lot of times the team will rally around one player. So, you know, I think we talked about this last time I was on here. People talk about a lot of people with how, what's the best way to put it, inconsistent Alabama's quarterback play was the last 2 years, that if Ty couldn't beat that out, well, then he must not be very good. And I just think that's not necessarily the case. I think I may have said this last time, with like Kalen DeBoer being an offensive guy, with him being a quarterback's guy, if they didn't see potential in Ty, if they didn't want him here, they would have told him to leave and go get his bag somewhere else. He probably could have gotten a bigger bag somewhere else. So I think he'll be able to hold on to it.
Do you think Ty was very interested in leaving? I mean, I guess you could have forced Ty out, but I think what Ty kind of told us in various interviews and things was that he had no interest in ever leaving Alabama. I don't know that you're necessarily getting Ty out of Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, I don't think he wanted to leave, but if you tell him you have zero shot, go somewhere else, he'll leave.
Sure. Like,
you know, and if they,
I mean, I think it was very, I think it's very strategic for this coaching staff to keep the three quarterbacks around, though. So I don't think they were really in the business of trying to run one off. I don't know. I did not take Ryan Grubb's comments as any sort of vote of confidence in Ty. I took it as more of a call to action to the other two quarterbacks of like, sure, we'd go with this guy if we had to, but I don't feel great about it. But, you know, I am possibly wrong. I'm not there in the stuff. I'm not there every day at practice. So I don't know. I just that was kind of the way that I took it. I'm intrigued to see where this quarterback battle goes, because I don't think that Ty really has it locked up at all. But I don't know.
I mean, I could see how that could be part of like why he said what he said, but I do think Ty has it locked up. Just I think he's been – I think – I mean, we all saw on Saturday what Keelan's arm is and what he can do, but I think Ty kind of showed he was the most consistent on Saturday from kind of what people have heard from scrimmages. He's been the most consistent all spring. He obviously has the most experience, you know, so – yeah, we'll see how I fully expect Ty Simpson to be the starter week one in Tallahassee, which that's so weird that that's the first game to me. I don't know why I keep thinking they're opening at home, but they're not.
That's going to be a lot of fun, actually. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh,
it'll be nice to have a good opening game after the last couple of years have been Western Kentucky. Who was 2023?
MTSU. Yeah. Jalen fumbles in front of me.
Utah State.
Almost picks it up and runs it in for that. Yeah, Utah State 55-0. Do you remember Will Miller telling us that week that Utah State was going to give Alabama a challenge? And I laughed at him.
I remember Will saying that. I remember our former colleague Mason Smith saying that, because I think Utah State had played in week zero and they had put up like a lot of points, I think on the Kauai or something. And I was like, that means literally nothing for Arya. Like nothing. And then I think he said they would score like 21 on Alabama. And I was like, there's no shot that happens. And then they didn't score at all, or they scored 3 points or whatever. So
it was a lot of fun to cover that game. That was the first time I was ever in Bryant-Denny Stadium covering a game.
Okay, great. That
absolute drubbing.
Got to start somewhere.
It was a good time.
I mean, who knows? Because Florida State obviously wasn't great last year, so who knows how that'll be. But it'll be nice to have a real opponent in the first game for the first time in a while after Alabama started with the big games from basically 2008 to – it got a little harder towards the end of the Saban era because nobody wanted to play Alabama and have an automatic L in week one. But that's way –
We're hanging out with Katie Windham. You follow her at @KatieWindham_. She's the lead writer for Bama Central, Alabama Crimson Tide on SI, covering literally every sport at the capstone. Katie, one of the things that Mason and I threw out today, and I need your help. We are 24 hours into the transfer portal, and it seems like the entire roster is listening to Coach DeBoer. The grass is not greener on the other side. Why have we not had anyone go into the portal quite yet?
It really seemed like overall yesterday the portal was pretty calm, like across college football. Like I didn't see a ton of – I mean, obviously there was guys that entered, but nothing too dramatic. So I was wondering, is it – because, I mean, there will inevitably be a couple guys that leave, a couple guys that come in. You know, guys that are deep on the depth chart that aren't going to have a shot to play at Alabama for a few years that are going to go find a better option. Where, you know, there's a good chance the grass won't be greener when they leave. But – That's just going to happen. So, yeah, I did wonder, what is there some sort of deal with, you know, all the agents right now? Are they all still negotiating stuff? Like why they're – because it normally, you know, there's a bunch of action at first, mm-hmm. and then there'll be like a little trickle. But maybe things are changing this year, obviously, where there was nobody on the first day. And, you know, I don't know why. I do find it interesting, though.
All right, so we have heard the rumors, or heard the tea leaves, the people that are reporting, of Joe Cotton and what was his name, Blake Steen. Joe Cotton out of South Dakota and Blake Steen out of Virginia. Two linemen that are just rumored, or per se, or Alabama's contacted, per se. What other positions, or is it just the offensive line, will Alabama be shopping for in the transfer portal?
Well, I think also which this is bad that I don't know the kid's name, but the punter that entered from Nebraska that also played for DeBoer at Washington, I think is kind of rumored to Alabama or has some ties, because punting was apparently not great for Alabama throughout the spring. Tough shoes to fill replacing James Burnup, and apparently it didn't go well. What?
Jack McAllister.
Yes. It didn't go well for the guys that tried. So that – I think that's kind of it.
We ain't going to be punting.
Yeah, you know, with
Ty Simpson, we touchdown every time. Extra points and touchdowns. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I think something that Kane – I can't remember if we talked about this at the beginning of in the first media availability we had with him, or sometime when I heard him speak, really, and I don't know if they target somebody now because it's going to be a hard sell for someone, but inside linebacker is a really interesting position because it's like you have three veteran guys with Deontay, Justin, and Nakai Hill-Green, the Colorado transfer. And then you got like a lot of sophomores and freshmen. And so it's like once these three guys are gone after this year, like you don't got a lot of college experience. I think Justin Okoronkwo was the one guy that left that they wish would have stayed. And I think another guy that, you know, because he played in special teams every game last year. He was obviously learning the defense. This would have been year two in the system. He would have been a guy that could have stepped in, you understand why he leaves, because especially when Deontay and Justin were able to unexpectedly come back and then they bring in a transfer, you know, it makes sense. But there's just a big gap there. So I know, you know, Kane talked about wanting to kind of fill that, but I think it's going to be a tough sell probably at that position to get somebody to come in. I feel like there's another position that's obvious that I'm not thinking of right now.
Do they need to go get a tight end?
That's it.
Yes. Yeah.
Blocking tight end.
That's the only other one that I've been able to think of. Because the two offensive linemen.
Jay Lindsey can do it all.
Joe Cotton and Blake Steen. I mean, sure, you won't always want as much depth as you can get on the offensive line, but it was a little more surprising to me to see that those were the first two kind of rumored players I saw, because I kind of was in the camp of like, I don't know that you necessarily need the offensive lineman as bad as you need other positions, but obviously they feel like they need a little bit more depth there.
Jay Lindsey, super tight end. He's playing H and Y and U.
That was another funny moment from Ryan Grubb when somebody asked about like having some your scholarship tight ends out besides Jay Lindsey. And do you mean all our scholarship tight ends besides Jay Lindsey? So
will we see William Sanders play tight end for the Crimson Tide?
Jumbo pack.
I mean, maybe if some of these guys are still banged up by the time. You know, I would love to see that. It looks like I actually didn't even raise my hand for Kalen on Monday, and Aaron still called on me. And I was debating asking him because I noticed when the last play of A-Day, you know, they threw the pass to Will Sanders, and like when he got interfered with and couldn't catch it, I saw Kalen kind of like throw his hands up, but not in a like mad way, but kind of like all shucks. Like I really wanted that play to work out. Mm-hmm. So like I thought about asking Kalen about that when I kind of got unexpectedly called on of, you know, Will Sanders at the tight end position. I saw you were a little upset with that pass. How much, you know, do you want to get him involved in the offense? But I didn't know if it would be the best use of a question, but I think maybe it could have gotten a laugh out of him. He's not as fun up at the podium as Ryan Grubb was. Not as entertaining.
He's just all football, I think. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I just don't know that Kalen's that deep beyond I just like football and competition, which is fine.
I think he just doesn't like to give anything away.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll keep looking and maybe look for some more. I appreciate that. Katie says, "Ooh, I think he might be missing.
Yeah, he's got some hobbies we don't know about."
All right. That's right. That's right. Katie, I think then we're about done here, unless there's anything I'm missing. Alabama's taking on Florida tonight at 5:00. You're going to be following Katie Windham's coverage all weekend long of Alabama and Florida softball. Obviously, the transfer portal is wide open for another 8 days or so. We'll follow who goes in, who comes out, all that nonsense. Gymnastics has made it to nationals. Well, tell us about that and maybe anything else that you're working on over the next week.
Yeah, that's today at 3:30, I believe. So the run up right into softball. I'm going to be doing a little multitasking for a little bit. Session is all SEC teams. I think it's Oklahoma, Missouri, and maybe Florida. I don't know. That's bad. I don't know. Maybe LSU, but I know it's all SEC teams. And it was interesting at their media availabilities this week. I wanted to write a story about it this morning, but then just got behind and we had other stuff to post. They kind of talked about it being a revenge tour because, you know, they kind of infamously didn't win an SEC or only had one SEC meet win this year. And so kind of, which is funny that they said that, because gymnastics, they typically try and act like the opponent doesn't matter, because in a way it doesn't, but they're kind of using this as an opportunity, as a revenge tour, to prove themselves. And so I don't expect them to move past today, but they could, who knows? I didn't necessarily expect them to get out of regionals. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, I've got Oklahoma, Missouri, Florida, and Alabama in Fort Worth today. It looks like the other group, and correct me, Katie, is going to be LSU, Michigan State, Utah, and UCLA. Does that sound correct? I'm reading it from NCAA.com. Mm-hmm. All right, great, great. So we'll see the ladies at about 3:30 today, and we'll see if they can make it into the finals, the NCAA finals happening in Fort Worth. Katie's going to be covering that for BamaCentral.com. Please follow Katie Windham at Katie Windham _. Really, really great stuff covering all things Alabama sports right here at the Capstone. Football, men's and women's basketball, softball, gymnastics, really everything. And keeping all of us in line at Bama Central as well. That's the other aspect. Katie, thank you for your time. I hope you enjoy your busy day. Goodness gracious.
Thanks. Talk to you later.
Absolutely. That's Katie Windham joining us on the Joe Gaither Show, and she will have a busy day covering Alabama gymnastics in their NCAA finals, trying to get to the finals of the portion. It looks like they're in like the final four portion. Two top two teams go on to the last little bit there. So we'll see if the ladies can advance, and we'll see if Alabama can take on and take down the Florida Gators at 5 o'clock today. Goodness gracious, WrestleMania over the weekend. We'll have Will Miller joining us tomorrow to feature Alabama baseball. He goes, oh, we can talk baseball. I said, why don't you save that for like other stuff? We'll talk WrestleMania with you. That's the point. So huge makes it.
What time is WrestleMania going to be? Is it going to start during the day or does it start it? Because I have to go to a wedding on Saturday. So am I going to have to start watching WrestleMania late?
Well,
it's a day wedding. It's a daytime wedding. I think it's at like, I want to say noonish.
NXT Stand and Deliver starts WrestleMania weekend officially. Well, really, it starts on Friday night with SmackDown.
Sure.
And then at midnight on Friday night, there's the WWE Hall of Fame induction.
Okay.
That I will be dozing through or asleep. NXT Stand and Deliver starts at 9:30 a.m. on Saturday. And we'll be, what, 3-4 hours or so, which will take you to about noon or 1. And then you're going to have a 3-hour preview show.
Okay.
And I believe it starts at 6, officially.
I might be, okay. I might not be starting it too late then. I might only be a little behind.
I believe if you're watching from the pre-show, preview show, to the end of the post-show, it's 9 hours.
Okay.
But I think the actual wrestling is just 4. So like 6 to 10 is.
I think I'll probably make it then. At least for.
And then same thing Sunday. Night 2 on Sunday as well.
That one should be fine. I gotta, you know, make a quick trip up to the 256 area for season family for Easter, but we'll be back in Tuscaloosa that same day. So,
opening the show Saturday night with Gunther and Jey Uso.
I can't wait for that.
I hope Gunther just decapitates him and carries his head around the arena.
One of two things happens. I would love to see Gunther just absolutely demolish him. I mean, put him through the ring.
Is this your hero?
Like, collapse the ring, Jey Uso's under it, and we've crushed him, and he's gone. Or Jey Uso somehow comes out, and he is about 25 pounds heavier of pure muscle, and he's learned 5 new moves, and he somehow whoops Gunther. Now, that's not going to happen, so I'll take the Gunther win.
Start the show with just blood, the entire, just oh, that's not going to happen. They're going to start the show with a feel-good moment. Everybody's going to be All right, so we'll talk about WrestleMania tomorrow. We will talk about Alabama baseball with Will Miller tomorrow. We will talk about all the things of the weekend tomorrow. And really, I know WrestleMania is our focus of the weekend, but the NFL draft is really what you guys are going to be looking forward to the next week. Dane Brugler has Tyler Booker not a first-round draft pick. Golly.
Wait a second.
You're going to make a mistake if you're drafting an offensive lineman not named Tyler Booker.
I believe so, but are we just homers?
A little bit.
I guess maybe Dane Brugler will tell us.
There is a class of linemen that Booker is a part of. Campbell, Kelvin Banks. I don't know if I love Armon Membu as much as everybody else. You've got the tackle out of Ohio State as well, who's getting a lot of love. But if you're really trying to look for an interior offensive lineman and you're not taking Tyler Booker, okay, good luck.
Godspeed to you.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll talk about that tomorrow right here on the Joe Gaither Show. Big thanks to Katie Windham for joining us. A big thanks to you for listening, for watching, for commenting at Joe Gaither 6 at Bama Central, for calling on the voicemail line 205-462-7340, extension 800, for using Derek Daniel at In-State Farm, for using Warren Tire and Auto for all your automotive repairs. And we'll talk to you tomorrow on the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central and BamaCentral.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's edition of the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. Keep up with Joe on all his social media pages at JoeGaither6. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and be sure to read us daily at BamaCentral.com.
Even though severe cases can be rare, respiratory syncytial virus, or RSV, is still the leading cause of hospitalization in babies under one. RSV often begins like a cold or the flu, but can quickly spread to your baby's lungs. Ask your doctor about preventative antibodies for your baby this season, and visit protectagainstrsv.com. The information presented is for general educational purposes only. Please ask your healthcare provider about any questions regarding your health or your baby's health.